Hello and welcome to the Journalism.co.uk podcast, a show where we bring you insights from media industry experts to help journalists do their jobs better. I'm your host, Jacob Granger. Today, we're talking about how journalists can become media consultants. After working in a newsroom long enough, many journalists want to try their hand at something else. Now, a career change doesn't need to be expensive or time-consuming. Consultancy often leans on the skills you've acquired over the course of many years working in news. But shifting gears to client-based work can seem risky. Here to demystify the process is Rama Sharma, who has worked as a media consultant for the last 3 years, specialising in artificial intelligence, diversity, equity and inclusion, and digital transformation. Before that, she spent 17 years at the BBC, working her way right up the ladder, starting out as a radio presenter and leaving the broadcaster in executive roles. She's going to break down the skills she's cultivated over the years that helped her make that transition and how you too can become a media consultant. Stay tuned for actionable tips and advice to ignite new possibilities in your career. Don't go anywhere. Rama, welcome to the Journalism.co.uk podcast. A pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Today we're going to talk about how journalists can make the transition into working in media consultancy. It's something you've done successfully in your career. You've, for the last 3 years, worked as a media consultant. And before that, you spent 17 years at the BBC in a wide range of roles, really starting from the bottom in radio presenting all the way to the top in executive roles. And I just wonder if we could start there in terms of, is that range of roles, was it intentional going in? Did you always think about wanted to be in a variety of different roles throughout your career?
Yes, I mean, I started off probably like lots of people start off when they join an institution like the BBC wanting to be a reporter. So I did the postgraduate in journalism and started as a broadcast assistant at BBC Radio Stoke. I left London thinking I wasn't going to get a journalism job in London. It had to be outside of London. I think I was probably right. And then did lots of roles in local radio, at Stoke and other places. So, you know, we're talking pre-Twitter, pre-social media, and at the sort of start of multimedia journalism. And my dream role came up in London, which was not to work just for radio, but to work for online and TV as well. And I was from London, so I got that role at BBC London. And I think that particular role became an interesting catalyst for me because I quite enjoyed working in an interdisciplinary way across different platforms. And it also became obvious that not everybody does like that or indeed is particularly good at that. So then lots of opportunities sort of spurred from there about, you know, helping other people do that in sort of training positions. And I sort of just followed my curiosity and followed my skills into all these different roles. So after that, the digital kind of explosion emerged, social media came onto online. I was already blogging, I was doing lots of things online. So that was a very natural transition for me. And again, it was something I sort of took to. Before I knew it, I was a digital consultant and I was delivering courses to the board and I was, you know, in India running a digital newsroom. So I think whilst I might have not thought I was going to do lots of roles, I was definitely always very curious and always interested in learning. And when I reflect back at my career, I realize I was always quite entrepreneurial. You know, what's the next thing? What can I learn? Where can I move?
That must have also necessitated sort of an open-mindedness on your part, at least to take on challenges maybe you weren't familiar with at the time. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, in whatever I chose to do, I might have done a course, there might have been something. So I didn't feel I was always going into completely unknown territory. There was something that would hook me into that space. But I was totally up for then learning and expanding my knowledge and understanding what was required from the roles and from what people wanted from me.
Yeah. And you've definitely taken on a huge variety of roles since. I mean, not just from the presenting, then upwards into different multimedia projects, editing roles, then sort of getting involved with sort of internal training projects. And I think even as well, leading a project commissioned by the Director General in 2015 for the Online Creative Review. That's right, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So, that was pretty amazing. I had to, with a group of people, analyze the website, look at what needed to be done, what needed to change, make solutions and suggestions on what needed to change, and those things then did happen over the course of the next couple of years.
How were you able to get those opportunities?
Those particular senior roles probably came as a result of the work that I had been doing at the World Service. You know, so we're talking like when journalists weren't on Twitter. Imagine the time, you know. So I know it's X now, but there was a time when people needed to be convinced that social media could be useful for journalism. So I was one of those people that was convincing them to do that. And then I was quite audacious in suggesting, well, you know, the journalists are getting it, but their bosses aren't quite getting it. And then I would speak to the bosses, and then I would give them sort of, you know, workshops, and then they would sort of hint that, well, the controllers aren't quite getting it. And, you know, and then I would pitch some workshops to controllers. And before you knew it, I was delivering these initiatives to senior members of staff.
Right.
And became quite well known as an expert in this area, that I built up a track record in delivering performance. And then there was a women leadership program that was specifically for female talent that was considered sort of director potential. And so I was very fortunate, one of 15 women across the BBC's division, to be selected to be a part of that program. And that then opened up opportunities like the Online Creative Review and various other opportunities to put myself in front of senior people and share visions of what I think needed to happen and what needed to be done. You know, hence on more than one occasion, they took me up on on the offer and said, all right, then, well, go on, have a go.
Yeah, that's really revealing, Rama. I mean, what I read from that is you've never been someone to settle. You've always seen opportunities and pitched hard for them, and then been quite willing to deal with the internal resistance that might come along with pitching for those projects and try and prove, you know, the value of your vision. Have I read into that right?
Yeah, you have. I mean, I think early on when I did that, so, you know, especially when I was pitching to senior folks about, you know, new programs and new ideas that they should consider, you know, I remember at the time getting some sense that people were probably like, stay in your lane, this isn't your job, or this isn't. But I was always so convinced that it was the right thing for the business. I was always so convinced that this is what is required, this is what is needed, and this is what the organization is asking of us, and this is what the leaders want. So me being able to come up with a solution that meets a need that just seemed so obvious to me.
And that feels perfectly suited as well to what you would do later on in media consultancy. What presumably your clients would look for is bold, fresh, new ideas and approaches, and also the confidence, you know, within those ideas to execute them. Right. So it feels like quite a natural transition between the two.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it is. The ideas were something I was definitely known for, and being, yeah, bold enough to make the move. I mean, that does get more difficult the more senior you get.
How so? How does it become more difficult the more senior you are?
Well, you get more power. Yeah, you know, people may feel like you're stepping on their toes or in their territory or all of that. That was never really my motivation. My motivation was always, there's a goal, and how do I achieve it? And how do I achieve it in a way that brings people with me?
Across all of these different roles, across your time at the BBC, what do you feel are the key skills that you acquired and amassed that really set you up for what you're doing now in media consultancy?
I had to think really hard about what is it that I was doing in all of my roles that A, helped me be successful, but B, is what I want to continue to do. And it was, you've sort of alluded to it, it's design solutions to big challenges.
Right.
In every role, I could see where the star was, and would, you know, come up with how to reach it.
The ideas, the strategies that you're alluding to here, do those just come out of thin air, or have you found good ways of generating good ideas and solutions?
I think they come from curiosity, and I think they come from joining dots. When I think about some of the ideas that I think were genuinely creative and had impact towards the end of my career, they came from a number of accumulative experiences and knowledge put together to create a program. You know, so I'm thinking about the digital pilots program that I delivered at the BBC. It was 14 pilots. And the way, the methodology of delivering that came from all of the journalism I'd done, all the training, all the consulting, all the pitch, like ingredients from all those different roles and all the different experiences I had and the insights I'd gained put into this particular program to make it work. And that's what also made me confident in that approach, because I felt like I'd done it. I might not have done it in that particular way. And when I pitched that vision, I might have not delivered it in that particular methodology, but I had done every single component of that project in different roles, and I had known what the outcomes had been. So that gave me confidence, but also something unique.
Yeah. So take a moment for reflection. I think there's a good message. Is there one skill that you wish you had developed more throughout your time in the newsroom that would have better helped you transition into media consultancy?
Towards the end, I wish I had done more networking. There just never felt like the time to do it. They never felt, the newsroom is so busy and it feels so relentless. And I was in a change job, so that felt very intense as well. We can all find the time. So that is just so important, because it is about relationships. So much is about relationships. And also, networking is not a dirty word. You know, it's actually something I enjoy doing now. But my network would have been a lot bigger had I done that in the last couple of years. And right now, so much of the work I've got since I've left has been from reputation. It's from people who know me and know what I did at the BBC.
With anyone in particular? Network with anyone in particular?
Well, I mean, anyone really, because you never know who you might need. But if there are particular sectors of curiosity, I would definitely engage with those folks and figure out how you can be useful to them.
So Rama just said something really interesting, which was that networking is the one key skill she wished she developed more when working in a busy newsroom to help make that move across into consultancy a little bit easier. Now you're in luck, because our journalism conference News Rewired is right around the corner on the 27th of November in London. This is honestly one of my favourite parts of the year, because I get out of my home office, stretch my legs and reconnect with the brilliant folk working in journalism. And not only that, this is a great chance to catch up on the very best trends happening in the media industry. We also have a very special offer on too. You can be part of our first ever study tour the day before, on the 26th of November, where you will get exclusive access into the FT, Fortune, Metro and The Economist. Book for both days and save yourself £50. I'd love to see you there. Head to newsrewired.com to grab your place today. I mean, how important is confidence in your world now in media consultancy? How important of an ingredient is it for acquiring clients and working with them and delivering and all of the whole process that you have to go through?
Well, it's hugely important. And again, it's been a lot easier to do that work with people I know and connect with networks. And it's harder with people you don't know, you know, how to pitch and how to present yourself to someone who only seen your LinkedIn profile, all that is a very different experience to someone you know, where you can sort of rest on your previous credibility. And it's a skill I'm working on, you know? Yeah. So it's one that it does feel like you're back at being a beginner in a way. You know, your BBC credentials help. They kind of get you into the door, but then you're also essentially saying, how are you going to be useful to the client? Like, all of that is fine, it's got you so far, but now it's about, okay, how are you going to be useful to me and convince me? You expand by being in uncomfortable positions and stretching yourself, and support is a big part of that. You know, you don't have to feel like you have to figure it out all by yourself, so reaching out for support to help you do whatever it is that you need as well.
There's something very refreshing about hearing someone with who's had a career like yourself and all the prestige that comes with it say essentially that, you know, when you try new things, it feels like starting all over again. And I feel like that's a vote of confidence for anyone listening who's maybe feeling unsure about taking an unfamiliar career step. So tell me more about kind of what you're doing now in media consultancy and how it really works. You said that you work with some clients who you working with for the first time, but there's also clients where you've got a previous working relationship with, right?
Yeah. one of my favorite things that I do is I do a lot of coaching work. And interestingly, more recently, I've had a lot more clients come to me about career transitions, about how to transition into either out of a career of media into another career, or going through that quite messy transition process. And I'm really enjoying that work. It feels very meaningful. It's something I've done. And, you know, transitions, I feel, are a continuous process in our life, depending on where we are in our life. So there's the coaching bit, which is helping people transition. The majority of my work is working with leaders. So working with them, finding clarity in where they find themselves. So they've got multiple priorities, multiple things that they need to do. So really helping them understand what is it the things they need to do that are going to create most impact, and then helping them design solutions. So whether it's strategies, whether it's a D&I program, whether it's, you know, AI education, whether it's, you know, some innovation sprints that they might want to do, it's kind of figuring out what is the next solution for them to do in their business. So that's the sort of part of my work. So, you know, right now I'm devising a training strategy for AI. So that's, you know, the AI bit of work that I'm doing, which I'm really enjoying.
And if I could clarify something for a moment, when you say leaders, are these news leaders or leaders of just general companies? Who are you typically working with?
I mean, the majority are media leaders. And I'm also have started working with some entrepreneurs, which is also very exciting.
Right. Media leaders, that's a world obviously you know very well, but you are starting to expand more generally.
Exactly.
It makes a lot of sense. Okay. And where are you acquiring these clients from? If you haven't got previous working relationships with them, how have you sort of hit the ground running and found people to work with?
Well, funnily enough, at the moment, it has come from network.
That word again, networks.
Exactly, networks. So I've worked with some people and then they've introduced me to others that are outside of the media, and I've worked with them. So word of mouth. Your reputation starts to build on itself. So if you've done some good work, then that person will then share your name with somebody else and someone else. So at the moment, I talk to my networks a lot. And then if good work has happened, then they'll recommend me to others.
At what stage in your career was consultancy a possibility for you? And it was something that you felt drawn towards and that you wanted to do?
I was doing a lot of that in my BBC roles without realizing it. You know, after I sort of stopped doing the frontline reporting and was in executive roles, I was almost always advising, devising, problem solving for my bosses. Like that was like such a big part of my role. And then when I trained to be a coach whilst I was still at the BBC, combining those two really brought my skills and interests together. I mean, the one thing I should add is that I do that and I know I'm good at that and I enjoy that. And I also like to do something that's generative, you know, which is where journalism comes in. So I did a Radio 4 documentary when I left as well. And I tried to either keep my hand in a bit of journalism or some sort of creative practice, because that's also quite important to me.
Interesting. So for a journalist maybe considering making this transition for themselves, what do you think might be the biggest question mark or knowledge gap they might have about making that career change?
I think if you want to go into consultancy, really spend some time identifying what is it the thing that you offer.
Yeah.
Take the journalism label off. Like, what is the skill that you're really, really good at? And have you got some experience in being able to demonstrate that you're really good at that skill? And then, and this is exactly what I did. So I had a view that I'm quite good at coming up with solutions, and I kind of figure out, I know what I think leaders need. I pitched that before I left the BBC. It got accepted. I started delivering something. So, you know, the whole cycle, like, what is it that I offer? Let me pitch it, get the work, deliver it. And then afterwards have a think, how did that whole chain feel from beginning to end? Is that what I would like to do on a repeatable basis? Is one way to test that. And then the other thing to test is your tolerance to anxiety. So there will be moments where you'll have lots of work, and that famous adage that there'll be moments where it will feel thin and you might start to get anxious, or you might have put in lots of bids and you're waiting to hear from them. So how you manage those anxious moments is also something I would say to put in your toolkit.
How do you manage those anxious moments?
So I think the pandemic was my training ground. So my father passed away at the beginning of COVID, and then we were in this pandemic, and there was quite a lot of change sort of brewing at the BBC as well. So there felt like there was quite a lot of reasons to be anxious. So I did a lot of meditation and a lot of mindfulness. I think I'd meditate twice a day in the pandemic, in the morning and in the evening. And it really helped me to be very grounded in the moment and the present moment. So do what I needed to do and then let go. Because there were no distractions, there was no socializing, there was nothing. I could really focus on that. So I spent the whole pandemic doing that, and it became a bit of a skill and a muscle, which is serving me right now. So when it comes to anxiety, I always remind myself there's either action. So have you done the action that can help relieve this anxiety? And if you have, then now it's time to sit with the discomfort and allow yourself to be in that discomfort and let it go over and over again.
Have I understood this correctly, that you made this career switch in the middle of the COVID pandemic?
So it's towards the end. So
it was 3 years, so it's 2021, right?
Yeah, so it was August 2021.
Yeah.
So we were coming to the end of the pandemic. We were starting to open up. I mean, to be honest, I'd made the decision to leave the BBC 3 years before I left. So it was a case of figuring out when I was going to leave, not if I was going to leave. And then at that point, when I did leave, there was a huge restructure. And whilst I was presented with opportunities to stay, I decided that it was time to go.
That was your sort of penny drop moment, your catalyst to sort of say to yourself, look, now or never sort of thing.
Well, exactly. It was like, yeah, this is an absolute opportunity.
But how did you prepare yourself for that jump? I mean, I'm sure it just wasn't a case of let's just, you know, do it now. What did you need to put in place in order to make this possible?
Have a vision. Why am I doing it? So when I said 3 years ago, that's 3 years ago, the vision was building. I wanted to have a family. Mm-hmm. I wanted a different rhythm. I wanted to make room for creative practice. I wanted to really live very core to my values. And I don't come from privilege. So this wasn't coming from a place of like, you know, huge safety blankets at all. But I felt like I needed to give it a try. I felt like my career was a demonstration of resourcefulness and skill and competence. And I wanted to bet on myself, you know, and it felt scary and audacious. And I had a brilliant coach myself who helped me through it as well. Mm. And then figuring out like when to go, you know, so realizing that was a good moment. My father's death was pivotal as well. You know, he had dreams and aspirations for me, and I won't go into it, but you know, was a part of honoring that. And then, like I said, that experiment of like, okay, I think I've got this thing, let's test it. Mm-hmm. From beginning to end, let me pitch it, land the deal, and see how that feels. So feeling like I could do it as well.
What was your first deal?
Well, it was Reuters, actually. It was a pitch, and I've continued to work for them ever since.
So that's really been your safety net, as it were, while you've looked for other clients to work with?
Yeah, I guess that's how it ended up. I mean, that wasn't the sort of plan. You know, when I first did my first session with Reuters, I think we thought, you know, I thought it was just going to be a one-off. And luckily, they loved it. And I now deliver 2 sessions for Reuters every quarter.
Is that par for course when working for clients, in terms of like, do things always go according to plan, or are there changes to how it ends up, or
yeah,
how predictable is the work is really my question.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning I didn't have this advice, which I now have, and I don't know, I read it somewhere, which is when you think about your client, don't think about them as a one-off client. Think of how you can continuously bring value to your client. And I absolutely didn't
right.
think about it in this way when I joined Reuters or any of my initial clients. I do now, but I didn't then.
Think of every client as a long-term client then, essentially.
As a long-term relationship, yeah. Especially if you like the client and there's a good value exchange. There might be some clients where you don't want it to be a long-term relationship.
What's the hardest part of the adjustment to working with clients in client-based work compared to working in journalism?
I mean, the hardest thing about this work in general is community, right? I mean, there is a lot of comfort in going into an organization and being a part of a community day after day after day. So when you're working with a client, you may only go in for a little while, so you can feel slightly on the outside of things. And in that sense, you also don't know when your client might change their mind. From that point of view, you've got to have multiple clients. But I've also realized I've got to cultivate my own community. So I've just recently started some groups, some leadership groups, but also some working mum groups.
Nice.
Which is about creating deep connection that doesn't disappear because you're the one that's leading it or facilitating it. So I think creating community for yourself, I think is really important part that I haven't actually read or seen that anywhere.
It's great advice.
Whatever it is that you miss, create it for yourself. I mean, that is the one of the most exciting things about being an entrepreneur, and that's how I see myself, is it's expansive. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. Yes, it takes time and effort, and now that I have a child, there is, you know, less time, but there are no restrictions.
And it's just important to note as well, I know you mentioned this, it wasn't a one-to-one jump from newsroom to consultancy. You actually took some time out in between. You had a sabbatical, a bit of a career break as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that a lot of people are a bit frightened to do that. And I can understand why. But I really felt, and I read a book about transitions, and I think that was part of it, is that how do you leave behind some of the old stuff that doesn't serve you anymore?
Yeah.
Some of the old habits. Some of the institutional stuff that, you know, if you've been in an organization for a long time, you will have embodied some of that stuff. How do I leave that behind to be the new person that I want to be, that I have to be in order to flourish in the life that I want? So I spent a long time thinking about that and also grieving, because I did have something to grieve. I did lose something. You know, there was an identity I was also shedding and losing. In order to become something new. I personally think that's important if you want to start afresh, to think about creating space to let go.
I think that's a really powerful point, and I just want to let that sort of breathe for a moment. One thing about the transition from news to consultancy that you found a smooth transition, and one thing that you found challenging, and sort of some advice around that. Go.
So the smooth thing is, don't underestimate your capabilities and your skills as a journalist. They will stay with you despite having a sabbatical, despite leaving an organization. You don't leave your professional competencies behind just because you've left something, an organization behind. So first things that will set you free. The challenge is that lack of community and, like I mentioned, the anxiety. So finding tools to manage your inner world will set you up, I think, in any job, but especially in a consultancy role.
Rema, this was amazing. Thank you so much for all of your time and advice today. I think it's been really helpful, and I just think it'll be so useful for journalists who are either maybe thinking about this move and are feel like they lack maybe the know-how or the confidence to do so, or maybe just journalists who don't realize this is a career possibility for them and they're sleeping on some skills that they could sort of use for other reasons. So thank you ever so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Jacob.
So my takeaway for today is this: understand your USP, then test, tweak, and scale. What do I mean by that? Spend some time reflecting on what you are truly skilled at and where you've had impact throughout your career. Do a test run with one client, maybe somebody you're already connected with, and see how that goes. Can you do this consistently? And did you enjoy it? If so, it's time to start weighing up a more permanent transition. Build an actionable network of connections that you can tap into and call upon for work, help, and assistance. You'll need it. Be prepared for intense workloads and responsibility too. It helps to develop ways to relieve the pressure if you haven't already. But what did you learn from today? Let's continue the conversation. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter/X at JPGJournalism, or email me on jacob@journalism.co.uk. You can check out all of our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the journalism.co.uk podcast. But that's all we have time for this week. I've been your host, Jacob Granger. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.